Welcome to this special extended edition of Stage and Studio. I'm Demay Roberts. We're focusing on a personal and historic journey of the first test case of Brown v. Board of Education in Hillsboro, Ohio. Today we find out about the Hillsboro story by Susan Banyas at Artist Repertory Theater. We'll have Susan, and most of the cast are here in the KBOO studio for the Hillsboro story, and they're coming on shortly. And at the end of the show, another feature in my series, Oregon Treasures, about veteran artists and arts organizations that have made an impact on the state. I spent some time with the Eugene Ballet Company that was founded by Tony Pimble and Riley Grannon in 1978. What started out as a ballet school is now a $2 million organization. We'll find out how they did it. But first, you can hear that we're listening to a piece composed by David Ornette Cherry for Susan Banyas's The Hillsboro Story. Beautiful music. Susan and David, welcome back to Stage and Studio.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Hello, Portland. Good morning.
David, you don't know this, but I play your music quite a bit, so Stage and Studio listeners know your name and your music, so I'm so happy about that you're here again. And Susan, of course, you know, longtime friend. It's so nice to have you here.
Thanks.
I got to hear the first draft, actually, or one of the first drafts of the Hillsboro story when it was the book. And you were reading a chapter of it. And then I was so pleased to learn that you turned it into a theater piece that was part of Fertile Ground last February. So, so that was amazing, this journey that you've been on. What made you decide to change it from a book to a play, first off?
David and I did excerpts from the book for an oral history conference at Columbia University. There was a big conference there that was sponsored by Columbia Oral History Department and New York Library Performing Arts Wing. And a lot of interest in how oral histories become performance or art, performance art of some sort, music or whatever. So we went to this conference, and David did the music, and I did excerpts from the book as little monologues. And that started we got such a good response, and we're kind of excited about it that I pitched it to Alan Noss. I said, hey, I think this could be some theater, and
turned out it was some theater.
And he was really interested, and so he's been supporting this cause, you know, ever since, and trying to get it to the stage.
So. And it's so exciting. In the studio with us too are two cast members of the Hillsboro story. Jennifer Lanier, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And Laverne Green, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. And it's great to have you here and talking about the Hillsboro story as well as seeing what you guys are putting together. I did see you both, and I was so impressed with your work
when you were at Fertile Ground.
It was amazing. The whole play is amazing. I want to talk about the story of the Hillsboro story. Susan, you focus on a fire at a black elementary school during your childhood, and that fire sparked activism by five African-American mothers that led to the Hillsboro, Ohio, becoming the first test case of Brown v. Board of Education.
In the North. Not the first one.
Not the very, very first one.
But the first one in the North.
That's important, though. Yeah. That was an important landmark in of itself right there. Yeah. Now, what about that time period in this particular incident stayed with you?
Well, it was a memory that of being in the third grade and looking outside my teacher's or our classroom window and seeing Negro women, you know, marching with signs, and who are they and what is going on? And no one really explained anything. And then also the scuttlebutt in the town, there was a lot of gossip about the fire at the colored elementary school, and, you know, Philip Partridge, the county engineer who'd started this fire, and, you know, it was just the town was in a sort of an uproar.
And it's hard hearing you use the terminology of the day, too.
Yeah,
the 50s.
I mean, that's how it
really
was.
Is.
It's like colored schools and this and that. So, but that was what, you know, was in my memory. I mean, that was my memory.
It just stuck with you
because
it was so violent.
And mysterious, you know. I mean, so I decided for various reasons. I mean, the memory would kind of come back periodically and nudge me. And then really honestly, it was after the American invasion of Iraq. I just decided, okay, enough. I need to write something that's really addressing the racism in this country and its extension into foreign policy, et cetera. And that memory really came back and resurfaced, and I went back to Hillsborough and found the people that were outside the window and started to interview them and write this piece.
Well, David, Laverne, and Jennifer have been on this journey with you for the last, would I'd say, year, this last year,
yeah,
if not, and David longer because of longer his musical collaboration. Yes. And so what's it been like for you two, or you three, whoever wants to speak up, watching it grow?
Oh, it's really been quite an amazing journey. This is Jennifer. And I've learned quite a bit about this section of this little section of civil rights history, because, you know, a person can never learn too much about that part of American history. But the other thing is, it's been absolutely fascinating watching the piece itself go on a journey and taking that journey with it, really discovering what's essential to the story. What are the pieces that are really interesting, but don't necessarily help the arc of the story, and also the different ways that we've discovered we can tell it, which is very fascinating. I mean, from telling it through dance or you know, very stylized movement, to the monologue pieces, to the kind of choral speaking pieces that we're doing. And it's really just it's been a fascinating journey just as a piece of theater. And then when you really get down into what we're talking about, again, with what Susan was saying, I mean, we don't really get into what the problem of racism in this country and how we talk about it and where it came from and how it's evolved and how our solutions are trying to evolve. We don't really get into that very much out loud. So this has been an amazing opportunity to do that. Would you say, Laverne?
For me, being a child of the 50s and being a part of the civil rights movement as a child and being the only, quote, colored girl in my elementary school and being the only colored girl in my Catholic high school, I understood full well that things were different. Got an opportunity as a teenager. My father was our oral historian, so he fed us the family history. So I very much knew who I was as a young black girl. I also got to go on the March on Washington. And to see that, I never knew that there were that many black people in the world in one place.
Exactly.
And so many boxes of fried chicken.
Right?
Buses and signs. And marched here in Portland. Got involved with civil rights here in Portland. My church, Vancouver Avenue First Baptist, was the head church for the civil rights movement. So I got to see Dr. Martin Luther King, Roy Wilkins from the NAACP. The church will be packed with community and activists moving us in the direction we needed to be. So this journey for me is real personal. It evokes a lot of my own memories, a lot of pain, and sometimes I'd find myself just really feeling it, you know, remembering being invited to a slumber party in high school and hearing the mother of my friend say, well, where's she going to sleep? She can't sleep upstairs with you guys.
Oh,
so
man.
I quietly packed my bag and walked home, and my mom had a fit and proceeded to tell Miss M off about how that made me feel. And so to see my mother grab me by the hand and march me back, you know, to the house where all the girls were having such a wonderful time, and having her stand there and just let this woman know, my daughter is just as important as yours, my daughter is not less than, really gave me a sense of pride. And I found myself standing a little straighter. I was teary, I was upset, but I knew that my mama loved me and that I was somebody. So
Laverne, that's such
personal.
An amazing story. Thank you for telling it. And I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to David Ornette Cherry's music from the Hillsborough Story. I just wanted to say, David, that the Hillsborough Story soundtrack that you've worked with, is the music is so varied. Every single piece is very different from each other, and it evokes a time period, but not necessarily is literal.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I just wanted textures and the words. I was really tracking off the words, and I went to the town, so I wanted to get that flavor of the town.
You went to Hillsborough, Ohio?
So just, you know, it depends on what she was talking about. I felt a groove or a texture, and it's been also great working with these ladies.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I can tell you're having fun right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so I'm going to leave it to them, but... Only thing I can say, if the music is it should be undertones for it, and I want the story to get out, and that's my goal in this. And you know,
I'll often leave your music on just as the soundtrack of my life.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
And I have to say, as a writer, David's music inspired my writing. I mean, I would have scenes in mind, but I'd hear a piece of music. It's hard to get a date if you're a communist. And I knew exactly what to do with it once I heard the music. It's like the music really inspired. It's been a very much a writing music writing
collaboration. Yeah, it wasn't separate at all. It was very much integrated.
Yeah.
Much like this play.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is about integration.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And it works
that.
Out that way, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. When everybody works together, it works out.
Yeah.
So.
What do you know?
It really inspires me as an actor. The music under one of my favorite pieces is the music under Mamie Till. And I can go there. I almost feel like I'm at the service and I'm seeing what she's seeing and feeling her pain. So your music underneath our words is extraordinary.
It is.
Well, I also want to say you have a CD of your organic CD series, the new one out, Organic Journey, too.
Yes,
that we're,
yes. We're... And then there's now is a couple of newer ones out. But the Hillsborough is out now, online now. But it's a Hillsborough thing.
It's the Hillsborough thing. Well, my guests are Susan Banyas, David Arnett Cherry, Jennifer Lanier, and Laverne Green from the Hillsborough Story. And I just wanted to talk a little bit more about some of the individual scenes. It plays a lot like poetic scenes from my memory of it. Mm-hmm. And you have one that you can do for us right now?
Yes.
Would you introduce it?
This is called Memory. It is 1955, and I'm in Mrs. Mallory's class. She's reading a Charlotte's Web by E.B. White. It's my favorite thing in the third grade. Charlotte is sweet and smart spider is trying to save her best friend, Wilbur the pig, by weaving words into her web above Wilbur's pen. Some pig, humble, radiant, terrific.
But Charlotte, said Wilbur, I'm not terrific. Well, that doesn't make a particle of difference, replied Charlotte. Not a particle. People believe almost anything they see in print. Does anybody here know how to spell terrific?
Negro women in shirtwaist dresses and their children walk back and forth outside the classroom window carrying signs. Then they disappear, then come back the next day, back and forth on Walnut Street. Every day, outside the window, all year.
Our children play together. Why can't they learn together?
One of the mothers carried this sign, a message. Well, I was only 8 years old. So I picked the signal up and it hummed away quietly inside me. Then it was back. The memory came calling. And 50 years after I saw the marching mothers outside the window, I went back to my hometown to investigate.
And that was a scene from the Hillsborough Story
by
Susan Banyas with Jennifer Lanier and Laverne Green and music by David Arnett Cherry. Beautiful vignettes of poetry. The whole thing is a memory. I know you play a lot with memory in your work, Susan, and it just plays out like, here's your memory, and you have it presented to us. It's so beautifully done. The Hillsborough Story starts actually tomorrow with a preview on October 13th and opens... Did you know that, Laverne?
Okay.
There was a look of
shock. Wait a minute. Tomorrow, really?
Wait.
No. We
I thought we had another week.
Give you any kind of shock here. And it opens Friday officially, though. You have till Friday. It runs through October 24th, Wednesday through Sunday at 7:30, with Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. And all shows are at Artist Repertory Theater's Alder Stage, located at 1515 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music by David Ornette Cherry, and this one is entitled The Fire. And this is from the Hillsborough Story, about to open at Artist Repertory Theater for 2 weeks only. We are going to have a scene now with Susan Banyas, the writer and director and also performer, and Jennifer Lanier and Laverne Green. And it's from The Fire.
Felix Fields lived across the street from the colored school, Lincoln School.
Where Lewis and Carolyn Goins live now.
Felix and his wife heard the crackling of heat, eating up books and desks and lesson plans.
Saw flames shooting from the windows, and they called the fire department to report the fire at Lincoln School.
Lightning from an electrical storm illuminated the scene.
In flashes.
In the shadows, Felix saw a white man drop a can of gasoline and run.
The firemen geared up. Dave Higgum, Ledger McConaughey, Orva Harshbarger, and Roger Ferris. The fire engines screamed out of the brick station. Left onto North High Street, right onto North East Street. The Lincoln School sure as hell was on fire.
The sheriff suspected Gene Kittrell, who was up to no good a lot of the time, and went over to Gene's house to investigate.
The ladies in the neighborhood had their own suspects. Young boys full of devilment had started the fire.
Oh, that white man Felix reported seeing was a crazy racist.
Whites, who clustered above the commotion, wondered if an angry Negro had started the fire revved up from the buzz after that recent Brown decision. Well, Life magazine had pictures of those Negro lawyers standing on the steps in front of the Supreme Court.
Quoting the Constitution like pastors quoting scripture.
A few folks worried about trouble brewing stayed alert to car headlights coming up from Greenfield Pike in case it was the Klan.
And that was from the Hillsborough Story, with music by David Ornette Cherry and written and directed and performed by Susan Banyas and Jennifer Lanier and Laverne Green. And that is the Hillsborough Story. We only have like 1 minute, but I just wanted to tell people that this is such an incredible opportunity to see this play. It's only for 2 weeks, but you do have plans to tour it.
Yes,
we
do.
Is that correct?
Absolutely. We're going to be going to, we're really excited. We get to go to Topeka, Kansas.
Yes.
You know, the place of the first Brown.
Right. And also the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center in Cincinnati, Ohio, an amazing museum.
Yeah.
And a tour in Ohio. And too bad we didn't get to talk about it, but we took it back to the hometown of Hillsborough, Ohio.
Well, we have a little bit of time to tell us what happened.
Well,
there.
All of us were there. Oh. So, ladies, gentlemen,
oh,
take
good
it
golly.
Away. It was
so there
wild.
We were with these people, people
yes.
that we're talking about in the play, people that we're trying to portray, and suddenly there they are in the audience.
The actual people
the
that
people.
The Susan
yes. looking
yes.
at us
interviewed.
Doing
yeah.
them. It was exciting and intense and
overwhelming.
Overwhelming. There's a word for it, right?
And I just wanted to hug the marching mother that was there. I just wanted, Miss Elsie, I just wanted to just grab her and hug her, and I did.
She sure did.
94-year-old Elsie Stewart is the last living marching mother outside the window, and she took center stage after the show, and yeah. what she had to say was profound. So it was a big moment in Hillsborough's history just at that moment, and I felt like we got validation to go forward
yes.
with the story, because I needed that validation or I couldn't have gone forward.
You
with
got
this.
Permission
absolutely.
And
yeah.
love from
yeah.
her
yeah.
for this
yeah.
for
oh,
this piece.
Absolutely. Essentially got her
yeah.
blessing,
yeah.
you know, which is
yeah.
so valuable mm-hmm. when yeah. you're talking about a story.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about actually the fact that the women are so prominent in the civil rights movement and era that are often underlooked. And this is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, here with my guests Susan Banyas, Jennifer Lanier, and Laverne Green, and music with David Ornette Cherry for the Hillsborough Story, which is opening with a preview tomorrow night and running for only 2 weeks till October 24th. We have been talking about the Hillsborough Story, but we also have been touching upon some of the themes and some of the personal connections I'd like to get from my guests here regarding the themes of the Hillsborough Story.
You know, what I found interesting being in Hillsborough, we met this wonderful waitress. Her name was Patsy. She was a sweetheart, and she was recounting her own experience being with Negroes
And she uses those terms still.
Still?
Yes. And so I didn't, at first I was going to just like play over it. Okay, so she said Negro. Okay, so she said colored. But then I realized she was really coming from a place of innocence, of not knowing that that's not okay. So I let her know that's not what we say. And she received it warmly, and she understood, and we forged a bond. And that's where it starts. It's one-on-one. It's not, you may not have a sign that you can make and walk outside anymore, but you can still touch people's lives with your own account, with your own memory, with your own way, the way someone makes you feel when they disrespect you. And maybe it's disrespect unknowingly. And before I go, I just want to say thank you to Artist Rep, because that's a theater that really embraced Susan's work. There are a lot of theater companies in town, and I'm not speaking ill of any of them, but this is home. This is like, we believe in you. Not everybody got it, but Alan Noss did, and he infused that energy into his staff, into his crew, into our stage managers. Hey, Tazi. And just really made us feel welcome. And that's so important when you're telling such a personal story that triggers emotions that are painful. You got to be in a safe place.
Well, I also have to say that the content of this play is sort of a gentle way of discussing racism. It is a loving way. It is about a positive way to overcome racism and to really deal with it on a personal level. Mm-hmm. These women are so strong that are in the play, the five mothers that you portray holding up those signs saying, what did the signs say?
Well, of course, there was the sign that Laverne mentioned earlier, our children play together, why can't they learn together? There's also Miss Hillsborough, lag behind the South. That's one of the ones that I thought was beautiful. And there, oh gosh, there are a couple more. Yeah, we have a couple of signs that we're using now, and one it has to do with
paying taxes and not being able to go to the schools you're paying taxes to support.
Exactly. So folks were really just, and we are reminded, you know, that these are the pieces that are important right now. I mean, just like all the civil rights issues that are coming to light these days, you know, with people talking about, you know, issues that are close to my heart, like same-sex marriage and that kind of thing. And it's so funny because the people who have a problem with that are using the same old arguments about that. And as we continue to do this piece, I just keep thinking, holy cow, you know, it's always the same issue, isn't it? It's the issue of, hi, I'm here with you, even though I'm not like you, but I'm here with you, you know?
I think, too, there's this perception that the civil rights movement was something that happened a while ago, and it was very specific to this period of time in the 60s and blah, blah, blah. And the fact of the matter is, we have to continue to fight for our civil rights all the time in a democracy. That's our job as citizens. And I think students, we're going to be doing some student matinees, and we really want to get this piece to students. We tried it at Laverne teaches at SEI, the Self-Enhancement Incorporated Middle School Academy, and we performed there for the students there last year, and they were great. They asked great questions, and they were very interested in. We want to get this story to young people.
Do they know much about this story or the civil rights movement
itself?
I
don't think so, and I don't think it's think it's the teachers not willing to teach the curriculum. Susan has been working with some educators to develop a fantastic curriculum for the Portland Public Schools system. And I know that our students at SEI, we were watching the Eyes on the Prize to prepare them for the Hillsborough story. So when Susan and all of us came together to perform, they were jumping out of their seats. They spent an hour or two with Susan asking her questions. They were very attentive. We're going to see the matinee this next week, and they're really excited. And I had to pick 30 kids, and it was really hard. But they are really interested, and it's our history. And they're going to be telling the story, and they're infusing their memories of things in their community and their ancestors and their relatives. So this is vital to the growth of our children, to hold on to their heritage and not go into another century blind.
Exactly. The other thing is that the Portland Public Schools curriculum that Laverne mentioned is absolutely brilliant, written by two teachers, but they go into the whole idea of taking a personal memory and then infusing that personal memory with a lot of information based on what's happening in the culture around it, which is how I constructed the Hillsborough story. It starts with a memory. Racism and all these political issues then really can they have a home in your own body because you're having an experience that's yours. And then you can start attach that experience to a bigger world. Then we're in the game together. Otherwise, it's just people getting in fights about who should have the power, you know.
David, you wanted to jump in here?
Oh, yeah. I think, and also getting back to the marching mothers, you know, and especially in the African-American community, the women were very strong and very, and they was the center of our, of me growing up, you know, the women. The men, too, I had strong men, but the women, they were go-getters, and that's what I think of with these women. And I want to put in a plug also is that it's in two acts. So the first act is the play, and the second, what I really call it the play, is the question and answers, because that's when you get people interacting. And then we have some events like the pre-show on the 16th before the play.
Oh, before the opening?
Yes. Yeah. On the 16th, we're going to have the SEI choir.
Sound. Also, there's going to be a choir for a pre-show for
opening
night.
Sound of Soul Choir.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And then on the 23rd, I have my jazz quartet with Carlton Jackson and Andre St. James and Michael York and myself doing pre-show.
So there's several shows in one show.
Yes.
Yes. And I think it would be a great experience for a family to go together.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And hats off to Cinda Jackson over at the SEI after school programming, and her choir is phenomenal. I heard them rehearsing the other day. Mm. I wanted to jump right in there. I said, okay, you can't sing and you can't be in the play at the same time, so choose which one.
Yeah.
Because they are just phenomenal. So our audiences are in for a really special treat.
It really is an unusual show and an unusual experience, I think, in theater these days to have this kind of community already involved in a play.
Yes.
You know, rather than separating the fourth wall, it seems like there are so many people that are already involved in this.
I feel so blessed, and we all feel so blessed that we're connecting this way in the community. It's been incredible.
Well, it's been incredible talking to all four of you here today.
We're
going to have to go soon.
Thank you.
But, you know, stick around, though. We may be able to get in a couple more words here. Susan Banyas, David Ornette Cherry, Jennifer Lanier, and Laverne Green from The Hillsborough Story, I really appreciate you coming down today and talking with us about your play, especially when I know you're very tired during Tech Week. So
absolutely.
Thank you so
glad
much.
To be here.
And thank you for the performances, too. The Hillsborough Story opens with a preview. Actually, October 13th, and officially opens at Artist Rep this Friday night. So the show only runs 2 weeks. That's it for Stage and Studio this week. Next week, I feature Olga Sanchez, Artistic Director of Milagro Theater, to talk about Viva Don Juan, the Day of the Dead celebration, as well as the rest of their fine, fine season. I encourage you to support Stage and Studio. I encourage you to support KABU right now at 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-5266. Till next week, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.